A Broadway revival opens this month, the landmark two-part theater event Angels in America. The plays, which deal with AIDS and homosexuality, have been produced and published and taught all over the world in the last quarter century. Now there's a new tool for understanding them, an oral history called The World Only Spins Forward. Critic Bob Mondello calls the book a fascinating backstage tour.
By the time Angels in America got to Broadway in 1993, after workshops, a pair of West Coast stagings, and an ecstatically received London production, it played like the smash audiences had heard it was.
Well, oh boy, a gay Republican.
Excuse me?
Nothing. I am not.
Forget it.
Republican? You're not Republican?
Playwright Tony Kushner had created what he called a gay fantasia on national themes, a play that explored the AIDS era with characters real and fictional in situations that were seriously out there.
What are you doing in my hallucination?
I am not in your hallucination. You're in my dream.
You're wearing makeup.
So are you.
But you're a man.
A winged angel flew in at the end of the first half, and that was after the action had leapt from Manhattan to Salt Lake City to Antarctica. Imagine the performers' reactions at that first read-through. Actually, you don't have to imagine, because in their book, The World Only Spins Forward, Isaac Butler and Dan Coyce got them to talk about it. One actress from an early Angels workshop remembers the script being more than 200 pages, and that was just the first half. Others talked of the play's crazy mix of laughter, fury, poetry, drag queens, closeted lawyers, Mormons, and especially politics. Would an audience get it? No one knew for sure, including the author's learned playwright Tony Kushner.
Opening night, which is critics' night, they all sit there. It's like performing at a stenographer's convention. Nobody laughs. And it's horrible. And they all go home and write their reviews, and the reviews come out.
Here he's talking about the first London production before there was any talk about bringing Angels to New York. Kushner and director Declan Donnellan had disagreed strenuously about the staging. Emotions were high.
The whole cast and Declan and I were going to meet at a bar. And Declan said to the cast, I don't want anyone to read the reviews.
But actors being actors, one went to a newsstand on the way to the bar.
And then he comes in with this armload of newspapers. And I said, Jeffrey, what's that? This is all the reviews, darling.
And once they'd been plunked on a table, Donnellan forgot all about his instructions and started reading them aloud, sight unseen.
And Tony was sort of shriveling on the other side of the table. And I read all these reviews, and they were all total raves. And then I realized in a way what an awful and risky thing I'd done. It just never occurred to me that anybody could say a word against it.
The book weaves together this sort of in-the-moment remembrance with the reactions of everyone from critics to gay Congressman Barney Frank, more than 200 interviews in all, not just to show how this play found its voice, but also to place it in context. Angels was in, and was dramatizing, a moment when the purple splotch of Kaposi's sarcoma, evidence of a compromised immune system, amounted to a death sentence.
That is just a burst blood vessel.
Not according to the best medical authorities.
What?
KS, baby. Lesion number one. The wine dark kiss of the angel of death.
Oh,
I'm a legionnaire. The foreign legion. The American legion. Legionnaire's disease.
Stop.
My troubles are legion.
Stop!
Don't you think I'm handling this well? I'm going to die.
The actor sobbing through that passage is Joe Mantello, now celebrated as the director of the smash hit musical Wicked, but completely unknown before Angels opened on Broadway in 1993.
I was virtually unhirable.
He tells the authors he was unskilled at auditioning.
It wasn't like a natural progression of somebody who'd been working a lot off Broadway. Mm-hmm. It was really like very few acting jobs. Angels in America.
Today, the play attracts much bigger names. Movie star Andrew Garfield, who not long ago was Hollywood's Spider-Man, will wear the wine dark kiss of the Angel of Death in this month's Broadway revival. The book's authors spoke with him, too, about how his own sexuality affects playing a now iconic gay character.
I, as far as I know, am a heterosexual male in a heterosexual male's body, and I'm not confused about that. And of course, the responsibility of taking on this role in a seminal play, a seminal gay play, filled me with joy because I knew deep down that it was going to be fine. But just above that deep down was a layer of terror of I'm the wrong person for this.
Right. He does have big shoes to fill, as have the dozens of other actors who have played this part. Even after a quarter century, memories of Steven Spinella standing up to AIDS and an unreliable partner and the arrival of that problematic angel remain strong.
And love the problem. led by his nightly dreams to the hiding place of the sacred inclement.
You cracked the refrigerator. You probably released a whole cloud of fluorocarbons. That's bad for the environment.
My wrath is as fearsome as my countenance is splendid!
Performers told the book's authors about one time the angel's countenance was less splendid. Her wig caught in the rigging as she was flying in, and the director came home to a phone message from a patron who raved about the moment, quote, when the angel turned upside down screaming and her wings fell into the audience and the stage manager came out, it looked so real, he said, but I knew you'd rehearsed it. Theater magic. You gotta love it. And Dan Coyce and Isaac Butler have captured a lot of it in their Angels in America oral history, The World Only Spins Forward. I'm Bob Mundell.